This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Do the show, bitch.
Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and
me,
it doesn't scream athlete.
I know you fat bastards want to eat some of this.
With Ben Higgins.
Go to hell, pro sports.
Steven Woods.
That was incredible.
And Paul Reindel.
All right.
Get ready, tier ones.
Oh.
It's Ben and Woods.
Finally, the chance for somebody to get on and do some good sports talk radio.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning, everybody.
Do the show, bitch.
My wife is in the studio with me and just told me, sit up straighter. Just right before we crack the mic. Sit up straighter, she says. Terrible, terrible, terrible mistake I've made. Bring your wife to work day is already backfired in my face.
Good posture is important.
I get it. Holy cow. Hi, good morning, everybody. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. A little bit worse for wear this morning. Long-ass day. A little too much to drink. A little too much talking. All of it. I'm frazzled as I could be right now. And then cap it off with just one of the worst opening day performances you could imagine. Really, really cool. Really, really cool way to get things started this season for the San Diego Padres, the Ben and Woods program, and everybody. But I will keep it a little bit positive. Do some intros here this morning. I'm Woodsy. That's my wife, Hannah. Good morning, Hannah.
Morning.
How are you?
Welcome. Good morning.
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks.
Are you? Just sit up a little straighter.
Well, you were slouching, and it wasn't a good look.
Fair enough. To Hannah's right is our executive producer, the great Paulie Reindel. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. To my left, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, Benjamin Higgins. Good morning, Ben.
Good to see everybody on this Friday morning. This non-panic Friday morning, as I'm going to call it.
Yeah. Yeah, overreaction.
No
Friday,
panic here. No, no panic at all, people. Let's just back off the panicking.
It's a bit of a letdown.
Oh, even Bob Melvin was let down. It's a letdown, but it is not indicative of anything. It's not a sign of anything. It's just a game. It's just a baseball game. That's what happens in baseball sometimes.
Mm. Very philosophical of you this morning.
I don't know what else we're going to say for 4 hours. I mean, are you going to take massive...
I don't want to say that we should go home.
You can't really read into one game and take big conclusions about the Padres.
It is funny, though. We can pick it apart a little bit, and I think we should. But here's the interesting part. When you have certain guys that you have come to know play a certain way, And then you fool yourself into thinking, well, potentially, maybe, they've gotten over that hump. And then when that player comes out and plays exactly like you expected him to play because he's given you no other reason to believe he would play any other way, that's what it's kind of a bummer. That's the where you go. That's when you hear the same old. And there was, you know, obviously one that jumped off the page last night. And we can talk about that at great length today, I'm sure. We can ask his skipper about it, Bob Melvin, who will join us at 9:35, sorry, for the management report today. It was a bummer. It was a bummer of a game. It was the weather was so awful all day yesterday, really. And I had to sit there and think, as soon as they did the intros, and man, your skin's tingling and you're so excited and you're losing your voice screaming for these guys. I tweeted, man, it's one thing to read about these guys, see them in spring training. But when you see them in person at Petco Park run out on the field, you're like, oh, wow, this is really something else. And then to go out and just absolutely soil your pants last night was a bit of a bummer.
Well, you have definitely gotten into the more of the overreaction than I ever expected.
Yeah, no, I'm already. No, I am.
I'd like to focus on the positive. What an amazing turnout by fans. What an amazing electric atmosphere all day long. From the start of our show at 6 a.m. yesterday until, 10 p.m. at the end of the day. I mean, San Diegans, Padres fans represented. They made it look good downtown. They didn't care about the weather. They went down. They partied. They were everywhere throughout the gas lamp. You know, the energy was amazing. It felt almost like the playoffs, in October. Rain included, a little drizzly, and it felt like a postseason game in March.
Yeah.
Which is not something that I think of many communities, maybe no other baseball communities in America are getting right now, is the kind of energy we have in San Diego for our team.
I don't know, man. Did you see the screenshots rolling in of Cincinnati? I've never seen anything like what I saw in Cincinnati yesterday. Did you see that?
I did not see any Cincinnati.
You guys didn't see this? No. Oh, my Lord. It looked like Mardi Gras in Cincinnati.
Cool.
But, I mean, look, it's opening day. That's obviously going to pilfer off and filter out over time. But dude, I was bummed. Look, man, you look forward to it for so long. Mine is also, we planned this kind of staycation, which was a blast. We had an incredible time, but the weather does throw a little bit of a hit into that. So the changing of the start time threw a little bit of a hit into everything, but you make do, you have fun. We had a great time. Thank you to everybody at the Pendry. They were amazing. One of the best hotels I've ever stayed at. Had to drag her kicking and screaming from there this morning. So close to the ballpark, so close to our Happy Does location. And then, of course, the Tier 1s that showed up yesterday at 6 a.m. Incredible. I didn't sleep the night before. I was so worried that nobody was going to show, and you guys did. So you made the day very special. But no, as far as the baseball goes, it was a sloppy, kind of, underwhelming game.
Yeah, I mean, Germán Márquez pitched a little bit better than Blake Snell did yesterday.
A little.
Hit his corners. Padres.
He had 75 pitches in the seventh.
Yeah, I don't think that it was quite as disastrous as you're making it out to be. I mean, it's
Blake had 75 pitches in the third.
He struck out 9 guys in 4 and a third innings.
I thought Blake pitched
he didn't walk a bunch of guys.
Better than an average Blake Snell start.
You know, their contact.
That's not saying a lot,
now. You know, they made some contact, got some base hits, and ended up cashing in on a 3-run home run that went 348 feet. The Padres had some base hits, got a couple of guys on. Matt Carpenter hit one 390 feet. Just happened to stay in the park, whereas C.J. Cron scraped the wall and went on the other side. I mean, that's the difference in the game right there. Those two swings, a 350-foot home run that goes over the wall or a 3-run shot and a 390-foot ball that dies right at the wall. Switch those around, and the Padres win that game yesterday. It was not the disaster that I think you're making it out to be.
If the Rockies' bus breaks down and they don't show up, the Padres also win that game yesterday. Ben, you can't do that in baseball. You can't. You say, well, it's like golf. We're all driving.
If the Padres committed 7 errors and they walked 15 batters.
How many did they walk? And how many errors?
Blake Snell walked one or two.
He walked one.
One.
I don't know how many total.
And then you put in the back end of your bullpen. If you want to be mad at Bob Melvin, you can talk to him at 9:35.
I'm mad at Bob Melvin.
Use some higher end relievers on opening day as opposed to Domingo Tapia.
You're down.
You don't usually put in your guys. I mean, he managed the way you manage a regular season game, not a playoff game.
Hell yeah, man.
You know, if that was a playoff game, you're not going to Chris Matt
Padres
and Tapia.
Only walked one batter.
One, that's it?
One.
That surprises me.
I mean, struck out nine, walked one. I take that. Yes, you'd like to see him get deeper into the game, but he was never pitching six, seven innings on opening day anyway.
He's excruciating to watch sometimes. Excruciating. Every hit, how many guys did he go 3-2 to? I mean, it was, and granted, hey, good job for not getting
some of those guys out. Never going to change. His stuff is too good to get guys out in a pitch or two. I mean, it just is never going to change. And you can accept that. I mean, maybe there's a reason why everyone else has gotten a contract extension on this team.
Yeah.
And Blake Snell is going into a free agent year. And it's crickets. It's crickets. It's quite possible that the Padres, for the very reasons that, you know, make it a tough watch sometimes, that the Padres don't have Blake Snell in their future plans. Doesn't mean he couldn't help them win a World Series this year, though. He's going to strike out a lot of batters.
Yep,
he had some electric stuff. It was exactly pretty much what I expected from Blake Snell. If you had told me he would leave the game giving up one run in 4 1/3 innings and striking out nine and walking one, I'd say that's not a horrible opening day start. Now, obviously, the two runs inherited scored after he left the game. One of them on an absolute bloop by Charlie Blackmon that was just a lucky little,
the last
batter. That one hurt, you know, to put another guy on.
But
for
it's
Chris
like
Matt.
It's you sound like the guy driving home that shot a 94 that said, "Well, if I didn't three putt six times and hadn't lost four balls, I probably would have shot even par." Like, you're a better team than them. Blake Snell's a better pitcher than Herman Marquez. We're a better team. Go out and show it. It was sloppy. It was a sloppy game. I was pissed.
But I'm not going to do this all season with you every time the Padres lose. They're going to lose to the Rockies again. They're going to lose to the Diamondbacks. They're not going 13-0 against every divisional opponent. I'm not going to do this all season with you on every game.
Which does not help in the slightest. So I've got a headache. I have no voice left. I'm grumpy. And come on, dude. 17 hits to the Colorado Rockies and their band of no-names, pretty much. I mean, hey, Chris Bryant, okay, fine, he's back. Charlie Blackmon is Ty Cobb when he sets foot into Petco Park.
He is a Padre
Why
killer.
Anything would go near the strike zone for Charlie Blackmon is beyond me, but what do I know? Just the fan of the team that's now 0-1.
The problem was that if you don't sign Xander Bogaerts, you had four hits last night. That's the problem. That's why you lost the game. It wasn't Blake Snell only going 4 1/3. It wasn't walks.
Right? You struck out 17 and walked one. If they do that all year, they will be the best team in baseball history every single night. They will probably lose about five more times all year long if their pitchers strike out 17 and walk one every single night. I'm not going to be too worried about the outcome of game one of the season. 157
and five, I can get down with that.
So mad.
17 walks, 17 strikeouts, one walk by the four Padres pitchers, none of whom were their top guys. You know, you didn't have your number
Throw
one
your
guy starting.
Throw it! 3-1, 3-2. I'm just good. Isn't it? It's excruciating. He's got to be the least economical.
Six
pitcher
hits, four
I've
singles, nine
seen.
Strikeouts, one walk. I mean,
how many innings?
4 1/3.
4 1/3.
That's not. It's not going to change. Blake Snell is not going to be an eight inning guy.
I didn't ask him to go eight, did I? Did I say he has to go eight or nine? Heard Coach yesterday when he was crossing with us. Back in the day, he used to say, "Hey, what's a good starting pitcher?" Well, the guy goes eight, maybe nine. Not anymore. Starting pitcher these days goes five. How about five? Is that too much to ask? Five. Give me five.
You think five? He goes five innings. You think we win that game?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I promise you, we don't.
I have no idea. But you got it. You're right. You got to hit. You got to play defense. I know Soto didn't get charged with an error. I mean, look. At the end of the day, it was a wet field. Same thing happened to Dahl and Wright. Both got bad jumps. Neither of them laid out. But it's also a soaking wet field. You probably can't get your footing on. Ha-Sung Kim's error was, you know, that's pretty rare for him. Not a guy you can make mistakes behind, though. He's not. Blake Snell is not a guy you can make a mistake behind.
I would also say that in game one, I do not want Juan Soto risking 100%. A major injury.
I fully agree.
In the first game of the season,
laying out for a ball.
I mean, Manny Machado has taught us that, you know, sometimes discretion is the best way to get through a baseball season and be the most productive player that you can be. And, you know, that means that occasionally you're playing at 90% instead of 100% to make sure you're still out there. He's dealing with an oblique muscle. You know, he's out there on opening day trying to help the team. He went 0-for-4 with a strikeout. I maybe still trying to get back to 100%. A little didn't have the full preparation the last week and a half of spring training. Not going to be worried about Juan Soto. We saw what he was doing in spring training. He'll get back to that very quickly. But yeah, that's, you know, the Padres needed more hits. Jake went 0-for-3, struck out a couple of times.
Okay. Great job.
All right, enough.
Jake's balls went a combined 9 feet from home plate, I think. But yeah, we missed some big opportunities. I mean, we got some guys on and missed some big opportunities in the game. And yeah, I can't wait for Fernando to come back. And but yeah, this, you know, that team's good enough. But I, you know, you do need to credit Xander Bogaerts. Hell of a Padres debut for that young man. Very excited to see how he. I loved my favorite at bat from him. You know, he hit the two doubles, and those were beautiful. My favorite one though was the one he hit out to right center that was outer third, and he just boop, bat to ball. The thing that John Smoltz says guys now are incapable of doing, he did it. It was a great AB, and ended up getting a knock there too. So love that AB for Xander. You know, let's right the ship and go out and beat up on crap teams like the Rockies. A lot of other teams. It happened yesterday too, Benny, across baseball. It really did. There were some games that you looked at, and we'll talk about those today too. Some games where, like, the A's beat Shohei Ohtani last night. Didn't really beat him, but the A's
didn't beat him at all.
Yeah, didn't beat him at all. Shohei Ohtani was the pitcher, and you won the game at the end of the day. At the end of the game, by the Oakland A's, they beat you. If you're a Halos fan this morning, you're pissed. Again, I think you have a right to be pissed because, like we said, we should beat up on the Rockies. They should beat up on the A's, and we didn't. We got bodied. Getting bodied is the worst part. Mm-hmm. 17 hits is the worst part. That's the part for me. I'm like, all right, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. All these people waited 17 hours for this game. And you come out and get bodied at home. You lose by one on a walk-off or Bob Suarez walking a guy, fine. And I know it's a long season. I'm captain of 1-0. That's my whole mantra. I'm captain of enjoy the ride. Yesterday was a long SE day.
That was not foreplay at all. That was not what we're about. Can we get into a better mental frame and better space?
That's how I do foreplay these days.
I'm gonna pick the Daily Diddy. Try to get us in a better mood when we come back.
I need some Alka-Seltzer.
I'd like to see a little bit different attitude by the time Bob Melvin comes on at 9:35.
No, I'll light him up.
We'll also have Eno Saris joining us. It's Craig Elston Crossing Streams Friday. You know what? This is the start of 162. It's not the be-all, end-all. It's the first game of the season. We'll talk some Aztecs. They're going to the Final Four, playing tomorrow against Florida Atlantic. Big sports weekend in San Diego. We got Paul here. We got Hannah here. We got Woods here. I'm Ben. Hey, we're in this together. Your tier ones are awesome. We'll be right back after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Become of me. was so hard to please. Look around.
What a pick, Ben. What a pick.
I love songs ever. Like Kick In, like, yes. That. I love that sort of, you know, Women Who Rock month we're going with here. The Bangles, Hazy Shade of Winter, our Daily Diddy selection on a Friday.
Hazy Shade of Spring.
It felt like a winter yesterday around Petco Park.
Are we done for a while? Or
Monday, rain again, Angelica told me. I don't know how much, but yeah, she said it looks like Monday could be the next storm coming in.
This is it. This is our lives now.
I thought we were done. I thought it was over.
You're not doing
it. You can't even get through the first homestand without a second.
I'm going to move back to sunny Seattle.
Yeah, right? For storm cheaper. Coming through.
It's cheap. I'm looking at opening day yesterday of places across the country. New York City was sunny, and it looked, I don't know, maybe like 55 degrees, but not a cloud in the sky. I'm looking around yesterday at all these games, and I wonder to myself, if this is going to be the new normal, how quickly do you think our beloved Peter Seidler could get a retractable roof on Petco? Quickly, I bet.
It's about like next week.
If anybody could do it, it would be him. I have the utmost faith in him. But, yeah, that's I want to ask Bob Melvin today when we talk to him at 9:35. Just kind of the look, guys. At the end of the day, it is one game. There's 161 of these to go, plus hopefully some playoff games as well. Got to find their footing. It's got to be tough for them too, expecting to play at 110, and then hey, we're going to push this thing back, and it's preparation. But it didn't hurt the Rockies one bit. But like I mentioned yesterday in the open, you are now the ones with the target on your back. The Rockies were stoked to come. It meant a lot more. It meant a lot more to beat the Padres yesterday than it is any other time that they've beaten the Padres, except for that, you know, Matt Holliday didn't touch home plate game. But yeah, this is the team that people are going to want to take down. And yesterday, you know, those guys were playing grab ass, having a good time because they put the wood to the Padres yesterday and, you know, shattered the illusion of this brilliant and perfect lineup and nobody can beat us. And I think it's a nice little slap in the face, even though it's only one game. You know, I think it is a little, all right, yeah, we actually have to go out and do this. So, yeah, I'm not super mad about it, but I wasn't. This is why you play all the games. So that's what I heard from a couple of experts. We'll play that for you and don't do this.
Again, I'm not going to say that the Padres were overconfident. They needed to be humbled a little bit. They weren't walking through spring training, like, arrogantly, like, nobody can beat us. Every time you heard Manny Machado and, you know, players talk, it was, it's about putting in the work. It's about every single day coming and doing our best. We're going to go 162-0 mission. They have the right kind of attitude. They know these kind of things are going to happen. They weren't slapped down from some sort of arrogant perch that they needed to be knocked off of their first game of the season. It's just not what I saw yesterday. You saw a baseball game in which when the Rockies made contact, It fell in the right places, and they got 17 hits. They also struck out 17 times. It's actually never happened. I think Jesse Agler had that stat on Twitter after the game. There's never been a game in baseball history in which a team has struck out 17 times and had 17 hits in the same game. It was an anomaly of a game yesterday on opening day. Tell me that the Rockies strike out 17 times, I will show you a team that loses 100 games. Yeah. If they do that every time, they're not going to be very good. And if you tell me the Padres pitching staff is going to strike out 17 and walk one, I will show you a team that will win 100 games quite easily, actually, over the course of the season.
Yeah, I would imagine. I think, you know, just for me, it was the lack of the offensive punch at all. Kind of sloppy defense and really not great pitching at all. So it's fine. It's over. You flush it. You move on. And you got another shot at those guys today.
Yeah, move on to the second game of the season tonight, 6:40, first pitch, 5:40 pregame show with in-season Sammy here on 97.3 The Fan. Nick Martinez, I like Nick getting a start today. Yes, you'd rather have Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish lined up for your first couple of starts of the season. Padres aren't getting to throw their best pitchers to open the season like most teams do. That's a factor here as well that, you know, Padres are going with their number three against the Rockies' number one, who's starting his third consecutive or third opening day for them. They had to go with other guys because of circumstances in spring training.
Yeah, but we were also the ones telling everybody, hey, how great is it to have a former Cy Young winner as your number three to go out and absolutely shove against a crap team like the Rockies? We all said that.
So we have to wear that. Right?
Again, I don't think Blake Snell is the reason that the Padres lost that game yesterday.
He went 4 1/3 inning.
If he went 8 innings, if they only have
They only scored two runs, they weren't going to win that game. It's, you know, it's the offense they need more of, not... It wasn't Blake Snell's...
If the starting pitcher every game this year strikes out 9 and walks 1, I'm happy. It's up to the offense to get more
than... He had a shaky first couple of innings where he got in some trouble, got himself out of it,
pitched really well in the third and fourth. There were a couple. Runners on second and third when he got the side was... I mean, that's nasty. That's what you want from Blake.
You know, really locked in the third and the fourth, but the pitch count was getting higher, came back out of the fifth. I was a little surprised, actually, that he even came back out in the fifth inning because... He had already thrown 80 pitches, 83, somewhere around there. And remember, he threw about 20 warm-up tosses during that, during the diamond dry area. So between warm-ups, those extra warm-up pitches, and what he had thrown, he was kind of well over 100 tosses at that point in the first game of the season. I was a little surprised that he actually came out, gave up. I don't remember what the first hit was in the fifth. The second one was an absolute... Broken bat bleeder, Charlie Blackman, that just went over the head of Xander Bogaerts for a bloop single, and then they took him out, and you know, Nabil comes in, and CJ Cron hits one that scrapes the wall in a line drive that goes 348 feet. Now you're down, and the game's it's just a different game. Now you may be pressing a little bit offensively. You feel like, oh no, you know, now we're behind. We just, you know, grabbed the lead. We felt confident that we were going to go on, and they answered it quickly and give the Rockies credit. That was a big swing by CJ Cron.
Well, I will say, I watched the entire game up to the last out. Never thought we were out of it. You know, staged a couple of shots at a rally, and just the ball didn't go our way. Carpenter, you know, like I said, hit a seed. I thought he was going to tie that game. He did too. I think everybody in the ballpark did as well, but caught, you know, 5 feet in front of the wall. Welcome to Petco Park in nearly
April.
If you want to
take one thing away that I actually was concerned about going into the season that may have been reaffirmed by watching that game, the power that some other players that we've acquired, Matt Carpenter, Xander Bogaerts, won't play at Petco Park the way it played at Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park. And there may be more warning track flies than they're used to. Those numbers may be down, depressed a little bit by playing in San Diego, especially early in the year when we have traditionally seen it be much harder to hit and score runs at Petco Park. That is something that I was probably not voicing into the, you know, I didn't want to speak it into existence during spring training, but you worry about any new acquisition coming to the Padres that their numbers are not going to quite be the same when they have to deal, especially with April and May and the marine layer and, you know, the cooler months at Petco Park, that the ball simply doesn't travel, you know, to deep right. That was a home run at Yankee Stadium. What did you say? 10 rows deep?
10 rows deep.
Matt Carpenter,
no doubt.
3-run shot, you know, different game.
Tie ball game.
Padres are up 5-4.
Oh,
yeah. 3-run shot. They're up. Okay, now the bullpen situation's completely different. You know, you're getting Luis Garcia, you're getting your better setup man in there to Josh Hader, and maybe you win that game. It's just, that's how baseball works. One little thing kind of leads to the next, and it changes the course of the game.
This feels right, doesn't it?
Yeah, talking baseball.
It feels right.
Yeah, it does.
Pitching and moaning about it. It feels right. This is fantastic.
You know, we got our Padres wrap-up coming up next. Even in a loss, it's great to hear Jesse's calls of yesterday's game, so we'll get our first of the season. What was a better day tomorrow? Do we have that back in our open?
Or you hear
we have a whole new open.
Yeah, it's been improved.
All right, new and improved Padres wrap up open,
or made worse, right? But by making it worse, we've improved.
Made
it
better.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes a little bit of sense, at least for tier ones. They understand where we're coming from. That is next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Brought to you by Bob's Discount Furniture, home of the world-famous Bob Opedic mattresses, with all the comfort and quality of a national mattress brand for half the price. No matter your budget, there's a Bob Opedic memory foam, hybrid or hybrid plus mattress for you. Check them out at mybobs.com.
Would you rather talk about the Aztecs? Because we can definitely talk some San Diego State basketball today.
Let's do it all.
We will. You know what they did yesterday? We'll maybe talk about the matchup in a little bit. But this was very cool. So, have you heard of the Final Four gift suite?
The Final Four gift, is it like where you get to go through and get free stuff?
Yeah,
they did a
players get to go on this like shopping spree at the when you get to the Final Four.
I know I roomed with a football player for the San Diego State Aztecs in college, and when they went to a bowl game. It's kind of the same thing.
A gift bag.
It's like it's not even a gift bag. It's like they walk into this like ballroom at the hotel.
It's called the luxury lounge,
and you just there, he's like. The whatever bowl game it was in 2009, it was sponsored by Jordan Brand. So there was
tables full
of shoes, gear. Sweatshirts, sweats, whatever you needed. And you just got to walk in and be like, ooh, I like that.
So
I got my size in that. I'll take
one
that.
One of the best Sopranos episodes ever is they go to L.A. to pitch a movie, Chrissy, and I can't remember who else it was, but they go to pitch a movie and they see, you know, Ben Kingsley and Lauren Bacall. And they're walking through this luxury lounge and like, hey, how do we get in there? And they're like, oh, sorry, it's, you know, it's for celebrities. And Rolexes and all kinds of fancy, like here, take this car for a month. And that's that episode. It was called Luxury Lounge. That is like one of the coolest things they get to do.
Yeah. And I didn't get the final like statistics on the overall value of what they were able to get. But there was that like Apple Electronics and. Cool, like
so rad,
like denim jackets, Final Four gear, all kinds of stuff that players get to go and pick. Now, you know, they're making a lot of money for the NCAA.
Oh,
remember that the NCAA makes truckloads of money on this event every year. It's their big money maker. You know, the bowl games, that's not NCAA. Those are their own. The college football playoff, it's its own independent entity. So the NCAA doesn't share in that revenue. Their one big moneymaker every year is this tournament with all the television rights fees, everybody watching and filling out their brackets. So it's the least they can do for these players who are making them tons of money is treat them well when they get to the Final Four. But it is a bit of a perk that I think that not every player realizes that they get when they arrive. Oh, come on into this room.
Help yourself.
An iPad or a... You know, some cool gear, whatever you got, shoes, jackets, everything, you know, take your pick, walk through, grab everything. So a little bit of the luxury lounge of the Final Four yesterday for San Diego State. They also got to practice out on that floor at NRG Stadium, that massive.
Cavernous.
Under
massive.
The giant video screen that they have at the Texan Stadium.
So cool.
I mean, it looks very impressive. So we'll talk a little bit more about that matchup. Later in the morning, but we're going to get to our first Padres wrap-up of the season with Jesse Agler right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Did you miss any of the Padres game yesterday?
Oh, it's been a great day today.
can't wait for more.
Oh, God, here we go. Jesus Christ.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Slam Diego? More like fail Diego.
I just felt the way that the roster is built, they would have to outscore their opponents to win.
Right-handed hitting, Jonathan Daza will step into the box for the Rockies, and we are just about ready to open up this most anticipated season in Padre history. Snell will wind and fire. He deals, and a fastball strike right down the middle of 96. We are underway. Here's the 1-2. Krohn hits it hard, and that bounces through the left side for a base hit. Bryant will score easily from third. Blackman advances one station. An RBI single for C.J. Krohn and a 1-0 Rocky lead in the first. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Manny swings. Skies one out into center field. Daza trying to find it in the raindrops. Coming in towards right center. He'll make the catch. Grisham is tagging. Here comes the throw. Not in time. Sack fly Manny Machado and a 1-1 game in the first. 3-1 pitch, hard hit liner into left center, and a base hit for Bogarts in his first at bat as a Padre. Gonna roll all the way to the wall. Castro picks it up at the base of the fence, and the second double of the inning is Xander Bogarts' first hit in a Padre uniform. Snell is set and ready. Blake will deal on 3-2, and a swing and a miss. 96 up in the zone, and three straight strikeouts to get himself out of trouble here in inning number three. No runs, a hit, an error, and two men left in scoring position. 1-1 pitch coming. Carpenter grounds one towards first base. Krohn charges, has it. Fires down to second wide, and a run going to score as Bogarts crosses the plate. The shortstop, Tovar, I think wisely, came off the bag at second so that that throw didn't go into left field. But in doing so, they lost the out at second. They obviously lost any chance at a double play. And Bogarts comes in to score, and the Padres have their first lead of the night. It's 2-1. C.J. Krohn launches one to deep left field. Soto goes back, looks up, and it is gone. A line drive home run just over the left field fence, and C.J. Krohn picks up in 23 where he left off in 22. A three-run shot, and the Rockies hop back in front. It's 4-2. C.J. Krohn, who's driven in four of the five Rocky runs, leads off, swings at the first pitch, and sends one to deep right. At the wall, and gone, a home run. Dahl was up against the fence in right, looked like he might have a play on it, but no. Second homer in as many at-bats for C.J. Krohn, and he is now driven in five as the Rockies lead it 6-2. 1-1 pitch is hit well in the air to deep left field. Soto going back. He will look up, and this one will go. And Lauris Montero with a home run. The Rockies go back-to-back in the seventh. Third home run of the night for Colorado, and they now lead 7-2. Pitch to Dahl, swung on, sent in the air, straightaway center field, well struck but playable. Daza, about 5 feet in front of the warning track, is there. He makes the two-handed catch, and the ball game is over. Padres fall on opening day for the second consecutive season. Final score here tonight, the Rockies 7 and the Padres 2.
Home opener, you know, you want to make a great first impression, you know, so it's disappointing. Everybody wanted to win the game tonight. At the end of the day, it is only one, but would have been nice to take the opener. Last year's opener was really good, and we were hoping to follow it up, you know, with the same type of game.
You know, I like Bob Melvin's attitude. He didn't totally dismiss it. As
like you did,
as just one of 162, but he also reminded everybody it is just one of 162 games. It was disappointing. Yes, the great script is to thrill a sellout crowd on opening day with a 15 run outburst, and you clobber an inferior Rockies team, and everyone completes a perfect day in San Diego, and it did not work out that way last night for your San Diego Padres.
No.
And Woods is having a little trouble with it.
No, obviously a win would have been great. It just felt like everything, and not just baseball, everything was against us yesterday. The rain, the time change.
Yeah, it did.
The rain delay.
The rain coming back in
like
droves.
Three or four times over the afternoon.
Like, right when they started playing?
Like, this sucks.
Going
like,
0-for-10 with runners in scoring position didn't help either.
That's probably the biggest reason why they lost. But
I'm going to blame the rain. Blame it on the Henry. No, it sucked.
Blame it on the Henry.
It really sucked. I can't sit here and tell you that it was like it didn't suck. It sucked. I'm not going to tell you it didn't. I'm not going to tell. I mean, thanks to our pal Corey Stewart, who made gasoline punch mixed with bath salts that we had out at the tailgate. He's got me feeling shots of Screwball and Coors Lights and. God,
see, I saw you starting before we even left Happy
I had a
Does.
Shot of Jack Daniels at Happy Does
yesterday, so you were in for a long day, regardless.
I'm like, I've got the DTs right now a little bit, the delirium tremors where you just kind of shake because you had too much booze, and so yeah, I'm in a pissy mood. And then had they won though, I would have been like, hey, I'm hungover and celebratory. That's a fun me. But now I'm pissy because that's we made a whole weekend. At least we have a new tradition now, me and Hannah. We're going to do that every year, go down and stay. And it was really, really fun to see everybody. So fun running into all the tier ones at the ballpark and saying hello. And then the game starts and you're so excited. You've been waiting so long. And then it just boop. And I'm a guy, too. Like, if you know my personality, I build it up in my head to where almost everything's a disappointment, honestly. Like, I build it up so much, and I built it up so much over the last 6 months that I was so excited to just start bodying people and go like 28-2 in a month that when they came out and looked pretty uninspired and inept, offensively certainly, and defensively, they looked inept. And I went, this is not what I built up in my head. And I was immediately let down.
I mean, do you think this is going to be a good or a bad defensive team this year? I think it should be a good defensive team. Yes, Ha-Sung Kim committed an error.
About 6 weeks ago, I can't remember who we were talking to, but I want to say it was our first time catching up with Jesse Agler right around spring training. And I told him at the time, sure, every team's going to worry about starting pitching. Every team's going to worry about their bullpen. I said, I think it was A.J. Cassavell. I said, my only kind of issue with this team, I think, is defensively. And I said, and the reason for that is not that they don't have talented players. They do. We've seen Crony play some first before, but he's not a full-time first baseman. We've seen Ha-Sung Kim play some second base, but he's not a full-time second baseman. Xander Bogaerts was, up until maybe last year, the year before, one of the worst defensive shortstops in the game of baseball. He's worked extremely hard to get back. Manny is Manny. He's going to be fine. Juan Soto is moving from right, where he was very bad, to left, which is okay. It's maybe a little easier, still tough, as we noticed last night. Trent Grisham, don't worry about a bit. Fernando Tatis is a question mark in right field. Does he have every raw skill available? Absolutely he does. Thought Austin Nola called a pretty good game last night. When your pitchers are up there throwing 48-foot sliders and you got to wear them in the chest, he blocked a couple. There was a wild pitch that got by. That wasn't on him. He made a great, valiant effort at it. So I would say defense has been my concern for the last – at least 6 weeks or so. There's not question marks per se, but a lot of seemingly guys playing out of position and learning new positions. Ish.
I think it's fair to say
they didn't take Grisham and say, hey, you're now you now play first base. There's nothing like that.
But I would expect that the defense only continues to get better as the season goes on as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Stunned that, Juan Soto's not so comfortable that maybe he either misreads or doesn't go after a ball that you might want him to early in the season. That could look very different by the time August or September rolls around as everyone's been there. I know that Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to make some mistakes.
Yeah, for sure.
And I also know that by September, I bet he's pretty much a gold glove right fielder at the end of the season.
Totally get behind that.
But he'll make some mistakes early in the year for sure. So, yeah, in that sense, I think you're fair in having in some concern, but if you know what you're expecting, if you know what you're expecting and getting into, I don't think it's a reason for long-term concern. It's a short-term, get comfortable defensively issue, and then once they do, I don't foresee that being like a playoff problem for the Padres.
Well, and we talked yesterday about the lineups, and hey, people are going to say, well, why don't they keep a consistent lineup? I will say this, man, defensively, I think it is more important than offensively these days to keep a solid, like, these are our nine that we roll with. And of course, if somebody needs a day, great. Manny needs a day off his feet, super. Matt Carpenter, you're gonna play third. Crony needs a day off his feet, great. You can DH Matt Carpenter, Nelly Cruz, whatever, you're gonna play first. Not Nelly Cruz more than likely, but Matt Carpenter, fine, no issues there. I just think so many guys right now not playing out of position but playing somewhere they're not super comfortable, and it will take some time to get comfortable. It's not like an overarching, like, oh my God. I don't think we're the Phillies or anything of last year who couldn't play defense at all until the last week of the season. They were atrocious. So I don't think we're in that camp because we still have really good defensive players. And, you know, that the Ha-Sung Kim one, he just booted it. It happens.
Yeah.
Happens
the best. I mean, you know, it's wet. You know, ball skids a little bit, yep. Something like that. It happens. Yep. Ha-Sung Kim is an outstanding defensive
Phenomenal.
Player. That was a ball up the middle. Doesn't really matter if you're a shortstop or a second baseman on a ball up the middle. He's going to make that play most of the season.
Yeah.
That was actually the only error the Padres committed. Today, I'm calling this Nelly Cruz opening day because I fully expect Nelson Cruz to get his first start at designated hitter going up against a lefty in Kyle Freeland. I wonder what other potential lineup changes we'll see. Does Trent Grisham drop in the order against a lefty today? I would expect he won't bat leadoff against Kyle Freeland, that you'd probably see him deeper in the order, because why set up a lefty-lefty matchup three times when maybe you only have to do it two times yeah. late in the order? So does that mean, you know, Ha-Sung Kim goes up to the leadoff spot? Do you just bump Xander Bogaerts up to the leadoff spot today? I'll be curious as to what Bob Melvin's day two lineup looks like. We'll ask him about it,
yeah,
and
he won't tell us
at 9:35 this morning when we're joined by Bob Melvin on our management report.
Yeah, look forward to that. Always look forward to talking to Bob.
Well, you know, I've got some thoughts, and
you'll see
around 2:30 or yeah. so when we put out the lineup what we decided. He does surprise us sometimes. Sometimes he's absolutely,
by the way,
direct and tells us exactly what's going to happen.
Got to give credit where credit's due. Coach actually nailed that lineup yesterday. I asked him what he thought the lineup was going to be. He absolutely nailed that lineup.
He did?
When he sat in with us at Happy Does. He had Grisham in the leadoff, and on he went.
We did. All right, our Padres well wrap-up was brought to you by Hamul Casino with thrilling slots and tables. All the best rewards. Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else. All right, we'll come back, play a little Take on Woods. We'll get into some Don't Do This. Hour number two on a Friday next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.